Hello, listeners, and thank you for listening to my podcast today. It is my pleasure to introduce our guest, Chris Halisi, who leads the e-commerce division at A.W. Chang Corporation, a men's apparel and accessories company known for its sustainable practices and innovative digital printing technology. Chris brings a wealth of experience in managing both direct-to-consumers and business-to-business channels. This episode explores the concept of the North Star in e-commerce. Chris shares how this guiding principle helps his team maintain focus and authenticity across A.W. Chang's diverse brand portfolio. We explore the significance of understanding and communicating a brand's unique selling points, navigating the complexities of omnichannel strategies, and leveraging customer feedback to enhance the shopping experience. Key takeaways from our conversation include the importance of sustainability in modern apparel, the shift towards more casual business attire, and the challenges and opportunities within the apparel industry. Chris also provides valuable insight into the role of technology in e-commerce, from platform choices to the integration of advanced features that improve customer engagement. Stay tuned as Chris shares his expertise on balancing B2B and D2C operations, optimizing market strategies, and the ever-evolving landscape of digital commerce. In this episode, digital commerce leaders will gain practical advice to help them stay competitive in the marketplace. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Chris, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for reaching out, Eitan.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for your time. I know you've been very, very busy, and we have plenty of things to discuss today. So why don't we start? You know, during the preparation to this episode, you mentioned a few interesting things. The first one is the importance of the North Star, right? So let's talk about the North Star, what it means for you, and for you as a person, probably, and you as a professional working and leading e-commerce. Right, for A.W. Chang Corporation, which we'll be discussing later in the episode.
Yeah, so the North Star for me is understanding the tone of voice for whichever brand you're working for, understanding your unique selling points, and trying to convey that in the most simplest terms to customers, whether they're first time, never heard of the brand, or whether they're returning and loyal and engaged, and just reaffirming that message, trying to get away from the gray noise, and then making the products speak for themselves.
You're referring to probably some of the marketing messages, some of the differentiating items, like trying to find your unique moat, right, or unique DNA, unique secret sauce,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So whether that's a welcome series, talking about your key highlights, the history of the brand, where you're looking to go in the future, but then also going deeper dive into the products more specifically and highlighting the benefits and what you're basically explaining the reason why customers choose you over the multiple competitors that are in the market space.
Yes, it seems that it's getting more and more important, right, to differentiate these days, right? So I know a lot of brands are struggling and actually spending a lot of effort trying to figure their own story, you know, migrating from talking about product features and functionalities to more of something which is more on a higher level of values or emotional connection or some kind of related to brand loyalty as well. Right? So how do you do that? I mean, how do you create such a process? Because it's very, very, sometimes it's very difficult to figure it out, right?
Yeah. I mean, the actual product creation is super tough and competitive, and there's a lot of copycats, very similar products.
Yeah.
So the real sort of separation or path you're better going down, and I see the market going towards, is actually getting many content creators or influencers and people actually wearing your product, calling it out, not having a script. It's all authentic. They'll call it how they see it, and it's not sort of a pitch in many ways. It's a real value add and something easy to communicate and convey in all the marketing channels.
Yes. So North Star is about focus. It's about authenticity. Tell us a little bit about A.W. Chang, right? And what's the unique story and what's differentiating this brand from others?
Yeah. So A.W. Chang started off as a mill in Southeast Asia. And our whole story segregates from the start to finish. It's a vertically integrated company. So we own the mill, the factory where the garments are produced, the distribution center, and then obviously our D2C website, as well as working with wholesale. With regard to our sort of speciality features, we have some of the best digital printing systems. So we can, as long as the resolution of the imagery is top notch and we have the rights to use it, we can basically put that on the inside of garments and the outside of garments, and we're really sort of divulging and exploring ways to showcase that with one of our brands, which is in partnership with the NHL FE. With regard to other sort of underlying, it means a great deal sustainability within the company. So our mill is currently powered about 80%. Throughout the year by solar panels, and we're constantly looking at ways we can reduce the wastage of what has become just the nature of the beast now, where people are looking for a shirt, they may order three but keep one and send two back. So we're trying to constantly evolve and look to reduce that wastage and keep our customers finding the right product first time and never having to sort of inflate their purchasing behavior.
Yeah. So I hear green, I hear sustainability, right?
Yeah. It's definitely paramount and underlying feature. A number of our garments are transitioning across. So it's either our licensed collection with the NHL is actually 100% made from recycled polyester, the entire collection. Our dress shirts are transitioning away from polyester to recycled polyester, and our cotton garments are now being sustainably sourced cotton. So we're doing everything we can where we have leverage to try and be the brand that customers navigate towards and purchase in the future.
Yeah, and the way you run the e-commerce side of things is it's kind of a D2C. You also have probably obviously a B2B type of approach. So can you share more about this omnichannel strategies?
Yeah, so historically the company was B2B, and we have some relationships with some of the largest wholesalers in the US. And more recently, we're trying to strengthen our D2C. It just gives us more control, basically, on how we prioritize the assortment of products, what we want to feature at the top of the pages, and how we want to promote certain products that maybe are underperforming or are selling really well. When you work with a wholesaler, you have to sort of give control away. So they'll decide what shirt they want to feature at the front of the rack, or how they want the signage to do and where they want it to be laid out on their huge floor where they have multiple competitive brands. So it's harder to get that moment to grasp the customer's attention, basically. So that's the main piece of how we balance B2C and B2B.
Yeah. But how do you make sure you're not cannibalizing the wholesale business, right, with D2C in terms of what's the pricing strategy you put in place? How do you manage marketing campaigns? How does this coexist together?
Yeah, so with that, we treat customers as our B2C customers with a lot more loyalty. We give them exclusive offers, some exclusive online products. Mm-hmm. To try and differentiate on that front. From a pricing standpoint, we just need to monitor it, basically, and just try and keep an open relationship and monitor what our wholesale partners are doing with regards to some of our new product launches, but some of our old existing products as well.
Yes. And I know that A.W. Chang, you know, is like an umbrella for many, many different brands. And these brands, they have their own probably customer base, positioning, definitely technology platforms. I know it's a combination of a variety of platforms. How how do you manage all that? Seems very, very complex.
So it's a case of it's prioritizing, it's balancing, it's being very organized, multitasking, having a consolidated commercial calendar where you know what you want to push. Every brand, luckily, is sort of has their own specific drops for new arrivals throughout the year, so you can sort of monitor it on a weekly, monthly basis, look at performance, and then be very organized when it comes to throughout the year.
So when you analyze and you try to make decisions around platforms, around processes to implement, what do you take into consideration? What are the important things that must be right in the
process? So we do numerous competitor analysis. We reach out to vendors. We go to conferences, discuss, learn about them, see what they're working with. And right now, we historically started on Magento platform, and have slowly transitioned towards Shopify Plus, which we hope to have 3 out of our 7 brands on, and slowly roll out all of them across to Shopify Plus or Shopify Advanced in a very near future, mainly because vendors and the new latest and best features always seem to be easy to plug in to Shopify Plus as opposed to Magento.
Yeah, it seems like a very vibrant ecosystem, right? Of most developers, this is where they go as a first interface, right? To the Shopify.
Exactly. They built that ecosystem with pretty rigid walls, so you can't mess around too much. But they've also made it very easily accessible for vendors to plug in and for users without the reliance on so much on developers and development agencies to get up and running and monitor the tracking. And usually there's a few vendors that you have to be upfront for a year, but very loads of them offer sort of a month by month basis. So you can test and learn. And if a integration isn't working, you can quickly cancel and move on and test a new integration.
Yes. And so the technology platform is one thing, but this is like not probably the primary decision. Obviously, you are working on understanding requirements, right? Try to work with customers, figure out what exactly they want in a way that maybe makes sense to you, right?
So yeah, exactly.
How do you get the data? I mean, how do you know what customers are looking for and what needs to be developed for the future years?
Yeah, so we have our customers. We reach out to customers and listen to their feedback, and they share it with us. They're very opinionated, whether it's very positive or very negative, and we try to react and address those issues to try and make it as seamless as possible. And what we've found is, especially in the apparel industry, there's quite a significant piece of returns that happens when people are purchasing. And what we've noticed is some of the platforms that Shopify work with are actually the most seamless and easier, where customers don't have to reach out to customer service. They can address those issues and process returns or exchanges in a more simpler and less timely manner.
Yes. And how do you work with customers? How do you get the information? Are you conducting surveys? You're like focus group? Spending your day with customer support? How do you gather like the real picture of what's going on?
Yeah, so right now it's customer surveys, but we definitely like to explore the option of doing some focus groups, a mix and match with some people who completely shop online and some people who just go to retail stores and try to navigate and give them the best experience.
Got it. And I want to go back to this North Star concept, because you have like so many brands under your responsibility. Do you have like a holistic plan for all of them? Like there is each one of them is like a siloed kind of environment that has a specific.
So we try and give them their own tone of voice and really break it down so they have their own target audience, their own messaging. It's always evolving. The target audience isn't the same it was 3 years ago. So We're in the process of actually refurbing that and having a deeper dive into, has the North Star moved? Like, it wouldn't have moved substantially, but are we targeting the right people? Do we need to adjust? I'm working with the marketing team and marketing agency accordingly to make sure we target the right people for the right brand.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the marketing side of things and the marketing agency. How this the work is split there? I mean, what the marketing agency is doing and what the internal team is doing?
So the marketing team, they give the structure and strategy of how we want to target, whether we want to shift the focus between Google or Meta. Mm-hmm. The agency help. We also do the creative to a certain degree and write the copy. But the agency will integrate it, monitor it on a daily basis, and we catch up with them every 2 weeks, suggestions, and look to update and stay on top of it without having too many hits come through our page channel.
Yes. And in terms of your multi-channel strategy, is it something that you already have in place or are planning to do?
We had an initial multi-strategy, but I think it's still ever evolving. We want to increase our organic traffic. We want to balance out the sort of returns. So whether that's through organic, paid,
yes.
Look at other avenues, whether we need to go on TikTok, even though the future of that looks a bit shady in the US right now. But yeah, looking at other avenues and trying to find the right sales channel for the right brand, basically.
Yes, and you mentioned some of the organic activities. Obviously, you've integrated, I think, Klaviyo on the email marketing side of things, SMS, right? So what are some of the organic activities that you guys are doing there?
Yeah, so from an email perspective, that's one of the pieces that's really exciting about us moving to Shopify is Klaviyo fully integrates with Shopify and yep. Shopify Plus. We struggled to get that full integration with Magento, so we're going to look to develop more reporting, post-purchase behaviors, really get engaged with customers, leaving surveys, reviews, and yeah, we're really excited about that side. From an SEO perspective, we're looking to roll out. We're really looking to develop on that. We're quite a small team, so we're hiring. We're hiring some additional support to try and beef up some of these key categories and collections to try and give us a better fighting chance in those competitive markets.
Yeah, yeah. And you're looking at TikTok, for example.
We're exploring that.
All right.
Given the recent news with TikTok in the US,
yeah,
it's something we're sort of on hold.
Probably reduced in the priority, right?
Until we work out what's happening in the future, we're on pause right now.
By the way, are you in Amazon on the 1P program or
not yet?
3P? No. Not yet. You're not doing anything on Amazon yet.
No, wow. We've been thinking about it. It's probably something for the future for sure. But right now we're trying to just develop our core foundation and then explore to reach out to Amazon in the future.
Got it. So your main focus, I would say, right now is to build your, let's say, .com presences, right? I mean, trying to focus on acquisition and retention to your own digital assets, right? And you feel that you have plenty of room to grow there and then probably expand from there, right?
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Got it.
We believe we've got the right tools to get a really solid foundation in place and then, yeah, just looking to grow and grow and grow.
Interesting. And I know you talk with me a lot about being a customer-centric organization, right? Obviously, it's involved all the outbound staff that is responsible to talking with industry partners, customers, but also has a direct implications around technology transformation, culture, processes. So what it means to you and for AW Chang, right, about to be a customer-centric organization?
Yeah, for me, it's everything about the website. It's the reason someone will browse your website and someone will engage and make a purchase. Uh-huh. So, you need to refine it. Everything's happening on the mobile phone these days, so you need to have like high quality imagery. You need to pull out the best and most unique selling points about individual products, trying to make it not too heavily detailed, but also allow them to explore and engage and read up a bit more about certain products if they want to. But really, you want to keep always think seamless and simple. If it's too confusing for the customer, or frustrating, I should say, more or not, they'll move on and go to an easier website and probably Amazon and stuff where it's so easy.
Yes. And you have a methodology in terms of customer journeys, or just you keep getting data and doing the experimentation mode until you figure it out?
We've got some heat map integrations where we can monitor how people are clicking on our website and where they're struggling, if they've got rage clicks and various other aspects, and we need to address those issues. But really it's test and learn, keep optimizing. Eventually down the line, I want to start doing some A/B testing on the entire website. So really looking to see if the change in navigation or change in a layout, if that can increase performance, and just monitoring the general KPIs of website performance going forward.
Yes. No, it's very, very interesting. I mean, the way it's all about, just keep experimenting, right? And don't be afraid to fail and test and figure it out along the way, right? It's kind of like a DNA of today's business cultures, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the best things about the new platform is the fact that you can introduce a new plugin, a new feature update. If it's not working, you can generally stop it after a month and then try a different one and try and find the right angle. There's never going to be one size that fits all. So you've got to keep on evolving, keep on changing until you find the right mix that works for you and the brand.
Interesting. Like be agile, move fast, right? And don't be afraid. And so in terms of the general, like the apparel industry, what do you see? I mean, what are the characteristics of the industry? What are the opportunities out there? I think you mentioned a lot of returns and everything that's obviously on the negative side, but what are some of the opportunities do you see right now in the US market?
I think there's a lot. I think there seems to be more. Previously, that you'd always wear a suit and tie to work, I think. So there's a lot more laid back approach to the dress code and how you hold your appearance. So I feel like the blend between business attire and after work attire is very similar and convoluted at the moment. So there's a definite crossover. And so I feel like people have always got, it's not just dressing up for work, it's dressing up for work, after work, and weekends or social events. So there's a broad spectrum which offers huge opportunity, but also makes it a very busy and noisy sector to try and keep your identity.
Yes. So obviously you do Meta, you do advertising, Google, everything. You're also doing some influencer marketing campaigns?
We're slowly doing that, yeah.
Yes.
That one's still hard to get the traction and return that you want as a brand. And we're still in the early stages of that, but we're in the process of rolling it out more substantially and just looking for the right authentic person to represent your brand and you feel happy with, and they've got an engaged, loyal audience. It can be big or small, but you really want the engaged, loyal customer or first time user to that influencer, basically.
Yes. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, it takes a process to find the right influencer, probably not the big ones, the micro or nano influencer that makes a difference and justify the ROI, right? So
yeah, exactly.
It's a process and then, to figure it out, yeah.
And then we can give them, we treat them right. So whether that's an early drop, whether that's have a look, tell us what you think about this, where you want changes, what you like about it, what you don't like. And we have a niche team where we can share that feedback back to our our designers, but also the factory. We're vertically integrated, so
yes,
we own every piece of the puzzle, and we can make the necessary changes at a very quick rate.
I wanted to ask you about working with agencies. I know you have a lot of, you manage a lot of platforms. You mentioned Magento, you have some of them on Shopify. You're transitioning to Shopify and Shopify Plus. Obviously, you work a lot with external agencies. What are some of the best practices or some of the tips that you can provide for working successfully with external service providers?
So from a dev side, I think developers will always deliver what you ask. So you can never be over detailed. So if you have a request, go into that level of detail. Show them examples of what you've seen in competitors or what you're hoping to achieve. And if it's not done, let's circle back. Let's get it right. With regards to marketing agency, that's ever evolving. It's sometimes one platform will just completely smash another platform or channel, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to pivot very quickly. You want to trust them because they're managing significant dollars. So it's trust, learn, and then the reporting side. So understanding the reasoning why a certain channel didn't work and why one did, basically.
Yes, and how do you measure the success? You're just defining some KPIs from the get-go or trying to put some timelines on everything because things are evolving, right?
So every campaign, every channel will have its own reasoning. So whether you're looking for acquisition for the first quarter,
mm-hmm.
second quarter, or peak seasonal holidays, maybe you're looking at ROAS. So really expecting to hit sales on the bottom line. And then there's obviously the engaged following. So are you getting customers to really engage, click, repost, those aspects. And if you try and not focus on any individual, but have different targets throughout the year for different channels, then you're in a lot better space for the long term mm-hmm. brand.
Yes. Obviously, you need to reach some kind of understanding of what's going on. You need to be patient, and you need that stability at least 6 months, 9 months on a specific channel to make sure it works right. And sometimes you don't have so long to do that, right? So
exactly. That's the hardest piece is trying to be patient and expecting if you expect quick wins, you're going to get burnt pretty fast. So you need to be patient, but then once you set that end date, if it hasn't worked, it hasn't worked. Don't try and reinvent the wheel and do another test. Just end it and start a new one.
Yes. And obviously it relates to that North Star that we talked to the beginning of the discussion, right? If you know your North Star, you're in the right direction. That's probably the foundation that needs to be defined.
Exactly.
Another important theme of our preparation call was around how important it is to keep evolving, right? Try new things, right? And I know it's for you also very, very fundamental in the way you work. Okay, so what it means to you? This ongoing experimentation and learning.
Yeah. So for me, it's looking at layouts of certain category pages. Always thinking about the mobile experience. So how people shop these days is the size of your mobile screen. So the layout, what info you want to divulge to the customer, and constantly trying to create the most seamless experience possible for them to either see a product they like, save it, and come back when it suits them at a easier time during their busy lifestyle, or whether it's converting right there and then. So we're looking at various options, but always centric to any decision is customer first, and keeping it simple and easy to convert on a mobile device.
Yes, nice. So if we need to do a short summary of everything that we've discussed and probably some other things, what are some of the tips that you can provide for other digital commerce leaders out there?
Yeah, I'd just look at your brand, find that North Star, be as authentic as possible. If you try, for example, I'm in the men's apparel industry. Mother's Day's coming up. we don't have an arm being Mother's Day. Like, it's a men's apparel company.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point trying to copy someone that maybe has a women's collection. Like, stay true to yourself, understand your audience, and just keep messaging that to your customers, whether they're first time returning. You're constantly going to change, so just keep informing them and stay true to yourself.
Yes. I mean, it's so easy to get distracted, right? Because you see so many things. When this company just implemented this technology, let's do that as well. Or maybe it will work for us. Or they just implemented this process, or they just initiated this new marketing campaign. So maybe it works for us, but it doesn't, right? So even if you are in the same product category, targeting the same customers, both of your companies are totally different, right? In terms of DNA,
exactly.
The maturity level of the company, the how customer perceive the company. I mean, it's like a complete different thing that needs to be specifically. And always, like I said, you know, get help. Sometimes you don't know, right? I mean, it's getting more so complicated. Every topic is like, you need to be an expert, right?
Yes.
Whether it's a marketing side, supply chain, technology, operations, support, analytics. AI now is coming into the picture, so get help. No one is an expert in anything, right? So you need to make sure you understand what you're doing and try to work with the best people who can help you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Great. So, Chris, this is the fun fact part of the episode. So I see that you are smiling. Please share with us something that most of your professional network are not aware of.
Yes, when I was younger, I used to play rugby, and during my rugby playing days, I ended up breaking my neck.
Wow.
Which was a bit of a disaster. I thought it was whiplash at first, so I didn't even get it treated until a good few months afterwards. But luckily, it was the last game of the season. I went and got it checked out and had the operation. Luckily, everything's come good, and I'm able to walk and run and enjoy sports, even though I prefer it from the sideline these days.
Yeah. Really? You actually broke one of the vertebrae? Like the actual...
Yeah, I slipped. So I crushed the vertebra in between. I slipped 2 discs into my spinal column. And
yes.
The vertebra. So, yeah.
Wow.
It was a scary time. My balance was off for a bit.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But happy everything's in working order, and it's just a sore back from age these days.
Yes. So you enjoy the rugby, but there's always a story, right?
I mean, yeah.
Great. Chris, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing this. Anything else you want to add?
No. Thank you for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it, Ethan.
Yes. Thank you for all the insights. Really interesting. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.